Well, welcome to a wonderful week on the From the Horse's Mouth podcast. I'm back. My name is Patrick Connelly, and I'm joined by our heavyweight two to look ahead to Punchestown day one. And we're going to be here for every day of the festival. Oh, yes, folks. Ruby Walsh, as ever, is with me, and Frank Hickey. I'm keeping you busy, folks, but we're coming to the end of Spring Festival, so we'll give you a nice little break after that. You are both well. Ruby, are you at Punchestown?
I am. I was here doing Markham Card earlier for SNTV, PK, so I am still here. It's glorious sunshine, which is always the case for Punchestown.
It does
right
seem
up
to
until,
be.
Right up until the off, and then it'll start raining.
Was a few years ago, do you remember, I think they had that really heavy rain, looked like they were splashing up, it looked like they were running through lakes at one stage, although the ground actually wasn't that bad, I think, that day.
No, there was water everywhere, but no, it was manageable, as the fella says.
It'll be another one of those weeks where you just hope, wish there was people there. But anyway, we're getting closer and closer. Frank Hickey, how are you?
Not bad. To be fair, heavyweight, it's a bit harsh, but true enough, to be fair. Lockdown has not treated me well.
That's not true. Your hair is going back. If you chop off the hair again, you'll lose a few pounds.
No, maybe. It's stones I need to be losing, not pounds, PK.
Well, I heard something. I did tune in while I was off, and I can't see the exercise machine that was mentioned. Was it a cycling or something? Oh, there it is. It's the Travelator.
A treadmill.
And has it been used?
Just I didn't even know there was one coming, and I just thought it was another delivery of shoes or clothes or something. Went down to collect it, and there was a guy with a bloody treadmill and me having to lift it up the stairs with him. So I ring Jill then and go, what the hell is this like? Oh, yeah, it's Ty, get a treadmill.
So has it been used yet?
Not by me. She does do a bit in the mornings. All right, yeah.
Fair enough. Okay. Well, I definitely want to get at least one podcast with you on the treadmill. If you tip up, for example, 6 or 7 losers on one pod, you have to do the following one on the treadmill at a certain pace. I've no idea what, like setting medium. There you go. For the whole podcast.
Yeah, I might have to get on to HR to find out how to bump up my life insurance before we do that, though.
Okay. Let's crack on, lads. Let's go through day one of Punchestown. We kick off, as per usual, at 3:40 for the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday fixtures. We get underway with a novice handicap hurdle. It's going to be very hard to try and find the winner of this one. However, that's your task, folks. Ruby, I'm going to come to you first on this 25-runner event. Any views on this?
No, a new race, PK. Usually we start with the Ladies' Cup, but this race has been introduced to the Ladies' Cup as we move to the second last race on the card. No, plenty of horses you can make a case for. One down, Jordan Gaines for claim 7 off of that for Denise Foster. Would have to have a chance. Fighting Fit looked to be on a bit of a run, but was disappointing on his last start. And the one I'd probably like is Scholastic of Joseph O'Brien's. Was only a juvenile, was a good third in Fairy House behind Jeff Kidder and Tihupu. Jeff Kidder, of course, won the Martin Pipe. Tihupu had been was a short price favourite on that occasion. Has ran at Cheltenham since, mind. Was second to Hurling Doors in a juvenile handicap hurdle there on the 15th of April. But Scholastic is going the right direction and could be the one for me.
Frank, I know there's a horse called Light Brigade here. He used to be trained by Charles Burns with a couple of ones next to his name. Is he going to make the market, I would imagine?
I think so, yeah. Obviously, I thought he won a bit more snugly than the winning distance would suggest at Nace the last day. But the one I like is Yeah Yeah Baby for Jesse Harrington. Pretty consistent on the flat last year, or last season. Won once off of Max 67 at Galway. It was placed 4 other times, finished the season, rated 72. Unseated on Hurling's debut at Gore in March when only 11-4 shot. Was second at Navan, then to Coventry, who pretty highly regarded by Paul Nolan, so much so that Nolan ran Coventry in a grade 2 in his next start. Last time out at Cork, yeah, Baby won, slugging off from Clever Currency, who reopposes here. Clever Currency actually won his next start at Limerick, the fifth battle of Ben Burb, won his next start at Tramore to give the form a really solid look to it. Yeah, yeah, Baby starts here in handicaps off Marco 111, I think. That looks a really appealing mark, I think. Got really good each way claims.
Okay, Right, so a couple of potential each way pokes there for the opener punch. Moving on to the first of the grade ones, just the five runners in the champion novice hurdle. This is over 2 miles and 100 yards. Only the five runners, as I mentioned. Willie Mullins has two of them and they dominate the market. Frank Hickey, come to you first, because we've had a few conversations both on and off air about Echoes in Rain. As we speak, she's 4-5 favourite, 5-4 Blue Lord. The rest don't count. All in job?
Back in 4-5 shots definitely isn't really my thing, but I do think she'll win. Look, I've been banging on about her since Nays. Like, she should be going for a second grade one here now, if she'd win to Aintree. But but look, her form at Nays worked out really well when she had Belfast Banter 8 legs behind. Belfast Banter's gone on and won the county and won the top novices hurdle at grade one at Aintree. She looked even better at Fairy House the last day when she had a penalty in the grade two. Settled far better. And she just went away from them, no bother. I think I read somewhere that while there was a handicap hurdle over 2.5 miles, you have to allow for the fact that it was an extra 0.5 mile. When they did their second circuit, she was far faster than the winner of the handicap. She looks like she could be top class. And I expect her to win this. And I think she's a definite contender for next year's champion hurdle.
Big praise from Frank Ruby. Two for Willie Mullins in it, we mentioned. Also, your father runs Duke Cup in just a 5-runner race. Again, a smart bit of placing there by Ted Senior. Ruby, your thoughts though on the first of the grade ones?
Yeah, I was probably a little surprised that Paul went for Blue Lord. He did run really well at the Cheltenham Festival. It was going to be a good second to appreciate it, but there was going to be no second. And as Frank has alluded to, Echoes and Rain has been on a rather rapid upward rise. But look, Paul Townend has ridden them both, and he's gone for Blue Lord over Echoes and Rain. But I think he may have picked wrong. I'd be with the filly as well.
Okay. Two votes for Echoes and Rain. Move on to a much bigger field. The 450 is the Killishee Hotel Handicap Hurdle. Big field. Magic Tricks could be an interesting one in the JP colours. Probably going to carry the first colours at 5-1. Topping the market as we speak. Outside of that, you're looking at 9-1 and bigger the rest. You've got Rula Boolia, who's been mentioned on this podcast once or twice. Jesse Evans, Jazz Away, they're both 12-1. Ruby, I'll come to you first before we get Frank's thoughts on Rula Boolia. Any thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I do like Magic Tricks. I thought he was unlucky at Fairy House, PK. He steadied up to jump the last hurdle, made a mistake. And we were watching on the side on camera, you could really see, or the overhead camera actually, you could really see how much ground Magic Tricks lost. So I thought he was unlucky not to win in Fairy House and beat Hearts or Trumps. He was a length and three quarters in front of Rula Boolia. I think he can mark that up quite a bit. And I think Magic Tricks will be hard to beat.
Big smile on Frank Hickey's face. Why?
Oh no, just a little joke in my own head. If you
well, they're
get
the
in
funniest
there,
ones.
I was like, look, Rula Boolia's got a decent way chance. I think this is probably a bit, might be even a better race than Fairy House. If she does win, though, I'm fully expecting Willie Mullins and Ruby to come back and offer me the job and apologise.
This is the racing secretary job that we have been talking about a lot. I tell you what, Frank, do you know what I found out? My cousin got the job, so I'm sorry.
Really?
I'm very sorry. My cousin got the job, so I'm very sorry. It had nothing to do with, I didn't sully your name, I had nothing to do with it, but I did find out that my cousin is sitting in the office as we speak today.
So you told her all the mistakes Frank Hickey made in his application, so she didn't make the same.
She did not make those mistakes, nor will she.
That's very good. Enjoy that. Look, Rula Boolia's got a good each way chance. I was talking to Tom Nugent, who's obviously involved in the city. They're very excited. The one I like, though, from a price point of view, is Exit Poll, again for Jesse Harrington. Relatively lightly races for a 7-year-old. Won last time over fence. Fell last time over fence on his handicap debut at Fairy House. Only went off 72 that day off a mark of 134. Runs here off a mark of 132. Had bolted up at Leopardstown in Beginner's Chase prior to that on decent ground. He has some excellent form in bumpers and hurdles. When you go back, he was 2-0-10 at Galway in a bumper, beat 2-shoot Tom at Leopardstown, beat John Snow easily in a Fair House main hurdle in January last year. Santa Rosa was third, and when goal was fourth, a really solid run there. I just think his mark of 132 is really exploitable. This is a red hot handicap, but he's a big price. He's 16-1 with us, he's 20-1 elsewhere. we're paying six places. That'll do me. I think he'll have a very good each way chance.
Exit poll for Frank. Magic tricks for Ruby in the big handicap hurdle at 450. Frank desserts Ruly Bulia. On to the second grade one. This is a belting matchup between Alaho and Shakapour Swat, or at least that's what the market would have you believe. Nube Negra for Dan Skelton. Fair play to Dan. You talk the talk over the winter period, saying that these Irish grade ones were, in inverted commas, freebies. Who's going to put that to the test? We'll see how he gets on against the big two. Ruby, start with you, because Alaho was so impressive at Cheltenham, and Willie immediately afterwards said, we might drop him back to 2 miles, and we thought maybe next year, straight away.
Yeah, look, there's no 2.5 mile race here, PK, so the only option was to go to entry, and it's such a hard race in Cheltenham. He just didn't come back to himself quick enough to go there. Hopefully he's over the exertions of Cheltenham, but you don't know until you run them. I think Willie's line of thinking was the way he jumps. He jumps so fast, slick, doesn't arch his back. He jumps more like a 2 miler than a 3 miler. So that's why he was willing to come back with him. That said, Paul Townend's conviction and belief in Shakapour Swat has definitely swayed me. I was disappointed with Shakapour Swat and Cheltenham. I thought he got a magnificent run through off the home turn on the inside to put the kettle on, jumped the second last, and the race was there for the winning. But he faded to finish third. Nube Negra ran on really well, but Paul is convinced that we didn't see the true Shakapour Swat, and there was no doubt in his mind which one he was going to ride. So that has swayed me back to the Shakapour Swat camp.
Okay, Shakapour Swat for Ruby. Frank, your thoughts on a belting grade one?
Yeah, it's a brilliant race. Look, we'll go through a couple of them. First flow is going to be much happier going this way around. Wasn't disgraced at Cheltenham. I just don't think it's his track. He disappointed there in the Supreme as well. He wasn't beaten too far. He'll run better here. Nube Negra looked unlucky in the champion chase. Obviously, was closing, put the kettle down late on. Looking at the way the celebration chase went at Sandown, he may well have won his grade one there. But look, fair play to Dan Skelton for bringing him over. You could argue the case that he's a big price relative to the other two. But for me, I'd agree with Ruby, Shakapour Swat. I just think there had been slight worries that, you know, Shakapour Swat got there very easy at Leopardstown a few times and didn't really have to find to win. But people felt that he wasn't really, you know, at his very strongest at the finish. And I think that kind of played out a little bit at Cheltenham, where the stiff finish just caught him out. I think coming back to Punchestown is really going to suit. You could argue his most impressive performance when he won the novice here, beating Defi Desai impressively. I just think the race is going to be set up for him as well. Like Alaho, Alaho's going to have this one jumping two out, isn't he? Like, I don't know.
At the 2 mile mark in the Ryanair, wasn't he well clear, or at least maybe not well clear?
He was, but outside the main, there wasn't a 2 miler in that race that was able to go the gallop Alaho was going, and both me and Mr. Fisher took back off Alaho after jumping three fences, so he was allowed to go here with real 2 milers like First Flow and Shakapour Swat. Even it'll just be a different ball game early in the race, I think. Frank, do you?
Yeah, I they're going to be able to lay up at that kind of pace, aren't they? Shakapour Swat, Nube Negra, First Flow, they're not going to let him get away, I imagine. And for me, he'll nearly have to have the race one jumping two out. I just think Shakapour Swat will track him and take it up, going to the last and win. That's the way I see it working out.
Two votes for Shakapour Swat. We move on to the Gosland Rover Bumper, a rich and varied history of very good winners. €100,000 in the pot for the 555. No prices as we speak for that. So this is going to be a tricky one, because a lot of these horses are making debuts or have had one run.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Okay, Ruby, I have to go up to you first, because Willie Mullins has got Hemlock in the race with Patrick on board, who was an expensive failure, I think it's fair to say, on his debut. But given he was part of this sale, I imagine all roads lead to Punchestown for this particular race for him.
Yeah, and he ran because horses who ran were going to be promoted in the ballot. So he ran to have a run under his belt. He was no match for Chantreuse in Clonmel, but he has to improve a lot for that. But that race was going plenty soon for him. He should have improved and adamantly chosen. Is a well-chosen gelding that Jody Townend rides. He goes nicely at home too, but he kind of, I'm watching them galloping, and only for this sales race comes up this time of year. These are horses ordinarily that Willie Mullins wouldn't be thinking about running till next October. And look, it's not a race for me.
Okay. Frank, it's about pedigrees and trainers with good records in this race as well. Anything catch your eye on the entries?
First port of call is always Robert Tyner. I don't think he has a runner, is he? We're paying five places here. I know that, look, non-binding is going to be very popular, being a half-brother to Fernie Hollow. And obviously, you know, you've got Denise Foster trains Jamie Codd booked to ride. So he's going to be popular, potentially could make the market. The two, it's like, you know, sticking a dart in it, really. Hunting Goodwill was one I thought was a small bit interesting. And it's very likely to be a massive price for Dave Harry Kelly. Orbit Man rides as well. By Walk in the Park, obviously, sorry to like to do Van den Beel. It's a half sister to Rhea Starr, who was rated 159 over hurdles, won a bumper on debut. Yeah, the breeding kind of says it might be useful. Like to be a big price with five places. I have a small bit of Bobby Tway on that. And the other one was Springwell Bay for Mags Mullins. She's no stranger to winning bumpers, though. Funnily enough, she has not won one this year, which I think is pretty unusual. Derek O'Connor is booked. This was by Keith Tara, half bird to mint condition, who was quite progressive over hurdles this season over in the UK. For Jenny Candlish, finished second in the Grade 2 Leamington hurdle at Warwick. Just Derek booked for Max Mullins, caught the eye at the breeding. So they would be my, you know, very, very speculative two against the field each way with the five places.
Well, with five places, I'm going to go Summer in Dublin because I love that tune. Is that Bagatelle?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I love that tune. I like those Hyde colours in these bumpers as well. They're not. They know what they're doing, Timmy Hyde and Harry Kelly and Harry Swan combining there, Charlie's son as well. All right, move on to the 6:30, the third Grade One. Again, a small field, but oh, wow, what a matchup we've got. Envoy Allen and Monkfish take each other on. Colreevy, she's gone in here. We have had many conversations about where she'd go. Interesting, she's in at 8-1. Even money Monkfish, 6-5 Envoy Allen, and Franco Deport, the outsider, 40-1. Ruby, I have to start with you. We've had a few conversations about this race over the last few weeks. Envoy Allen, I guess 3 miles at this stage of his career, will he stay?
So I think he's bred to PK, and that would be the ultimate goal for him. The aim for him would be the Cheltenham Gold Cup. So, look, he moved yards before his last start. He may have been left a little fresh because when you get a horse 2 weeks before a race, you don't really know how much gallop when they're done. So your probably tendency would be to undercook them rather than overdo it. And he looked a bit fresh at Cheltenham. And I think he fell because he never made a mistake before and he simply didn't know how to save himself. So I can put that behind him. Monkfish, on the other hand, was a bit hit and miss in Cheltenham with his jumping, which we hadn't seen before, yet he still managed to get the job done. And I think it's going to come down to how the race is run. Monkfish is an absolute assured stayer. He's won over 3 miles in a couple of occasions. Envoy Allen would look to be the faster horse. So this will be, a lot will depend, the outcome of this race, I think, a lot of it will depend on how the race is run. If they go fast enough and it turns into a stamina test, Moonfish could be the one. But if that happens to steady up somewhere and there's a change of gear required, Envoy Allen looks to have all the gears.
Three different runners, Willie Mullins, but three different owners. So I think it's safe to assume, from the outside, we're not looking at Franco Deport being a pacemaker essentially here. He's running there on
Jesus,
his own merits.
No.
Yeah. It is something that some punters might look at because you say the pace is going to be so important.
No, but having said that, Colreevy has made the run under the last couple of starts. So you'd imagine she'll go forward as well. But you're going to need to be going Grade One gallop here to stretch a horse of Envoy Allen's natural ability. And look, I love watching the top of any sport. And Envoy Allen is one of those really exciting horses.
We did an anti-post preview to this race possibly a couple of weeks ago, and I couldn't get you off the fence. I'm going to try again. Envoy Allen or Monkfish, Ruby?
I think this is a race for the purest, PK.
He's still on the fence. I can't believe it. It's a very comfortable fence.
I can't wait to watch it. I think this is an absolute one of those clashes that you just want to watch.
I'm a dreadful presenter, Frank. Frank, you'll give us a selection.
Yeah, look, you couldn't argue with anyone, no matter which one of the two they go for. Like, you know, you could make a strong case for either. Like Monkfish, he was a bit underwhelming at Cheltenham, wasn't he? Like, he got the job done, to be fair to him, and it's the sign of a good horse that can be below his best and still win. Look, obviously, Envy Lens coming in off the back of the fall. I'm not worried about his stamina. He won a point to point, and I've watched that video a few times in the last couple of years, and I think Appreciated went hard enough in front to look like that day and finished really tired. And the second Nearly Perfect is a relatively useful staying handicap chaser for Neil King over in the UK. And he had no issue staying that day. It's going to be intriguing to watch. I'd imagine, as Ruby says, I'd be surprised if Paul Towland doesn't try to make this a stamina test just to make sure. Like, I think if this is run steady and turns into a speed test, I think there's only one winner. As good as Monkfish was at the Dublin Race Festival over 2.5 miles. But I think he'll probably try and make it a stamina test to see if there is a chink in the armour of Envy Len. I don't think there is. I think he'll come out and win. But I think I'm really excited to watch the race. I think it's going to be a cracker.
No bet for Ruby Walsh. Frank Hickey believes that Envoy Allen is the one to beat in the Dooley Insurance Group Champion Novice Chase. We move on to the Ladies Perpetual Cup, which for the Kildare Hunt used to be for Father Sean Breen. Great man, Father Sean Breen. Did you ever catch any of his masses, lads? Would you ever go to one?
I did when he was in Eadstown once or twice, yeah.
Yeah, he used to say mass in the Galway Parade Ring on the Sunday when it first became a 7-day festival. He'd say before racing on the Sunday. He owned a horse called 111 who did great things for Joanna Morgan. And he went over to Hong Kong to watch his horse run years ago when I was there. And he said mass that morning in the hotel. I think I clocked it at 7 minutes. It was fantastic. It was, you know, if you wanted a man to say a very quick mass, that was Father Sean Breen was your man.
That's the kind of fellow you want. But I remember when I was in boarding school, you had mass every evening at 6 o'clock and was at 20 past six. Now, there was one priest was about the 12-minute mark and he was great because he'd get in early then and get the best of everything. But then there was a lad, Tara Marco, you say it in Irish, and he was, you know, 25 to 30 minutes and you'd be literally just getting a few scraps of bread and butter and that'd be your tea then.
But what? Like, who were the people eating the food if not everyone was at mass?
You didn't have to go to mass. But you see, I was a sacristan for 2 years, so I had to go.
Where did it all go wrong, Frank?
I was the class swap, not swap, but the goody two shoes for a while. That didn't last very long.
Could you say mass Oskilga now? Would you be able to recite a few things for us? Put the listeners to sleep.
Oh, I can't. I just remember he had a bit of right when he used to the. He's pray for all the people in East Timor every night anyway. I just remember that just stuck with me.
Okay. That's a very particular place to be praying for more people in East Timor. Well, that was Father Sean Breen, and that was Frank's career as a sacristan back down in his boarding school days. This race is it's a bit of a curious kind of race, isn't it, Ruby? This one, it's for certified hunters of a particular area and all sorts of stuff. But we've got
No, it's not. That's the
Bishop's Town.
That's the Kildare. Okay. That's on Friday. That race, right. That you have to be a farmer in County Kildare to have a run.
Oh, right.
This is the Ladies' Cup, it's a bank race, but it's basically a winners and one hunters chase. So you could win this year and win it again next year, providing you didn't win anything else. And you cannot be serious, hasn't ran on the track since it was second in this race in 2019. It's been kept for us. Derek O'Connor rides for End of Buldrum. You cannot be serious, will do me.
Frank, Ennis Gillen runs here. He's 16. He's probably run it a few times, as Ruby said. I think he's run over these back. I'd say, actually, he doesn't need a jockey. He will find his own way around this. 16, that's incredible. Any strong or otherwise thoughts on the Ladies' Cup?
Definitely nothing strong. Look, if the market speaks in the favour of you cannot be serious, I think it's worth paying heed to. I'd very tentatively go with St. Benedict, just... he's been running okay. He's finished second in three of his last four starts in hunter chases. He did fall at the last at Downpatrick the last day when, look, he was going to be beaten. He was going to be second at best and probably third. but he's in, you know, relatively good form and has fitness on his side. But if the other Bulger horse is strong in the market, he probably wants it. Fun with him, but it's not a race I'd be awfully keen on having a bet on.
Love a Banks race. So you cannot be serious. Enda Bulger obviously to watch out for, and St. Benedict, and they're likely to make the market. One more race to go. It is the second bumper on day one of Punchestown. It's the Irish Field. We're all about the horse, Irish National Flat Race at 7:35. I'm scrolling down the runners and riders, and I see for the same owners as your horse, or the William Mullins horse in the Goff's Land Rover bumper, Harry Kirry. Patrick is on board. Ruby, give us an update on that one.
Yeah, very fast horse, PK. Ground to ground in Gorn was probably too heavy for Harry Carey when he ran. But he'll appreciate the better ground here at Punchestown. And Willie also has the first reserve going, Glowing Account, who has a really strong flat pedigree and works well as well.
Okay, we'll keep an eye. If he or she gets in, it would be very interesting in those Bally Lynch colours. Frank, any thoughts on the bumper?
We're paying four places here, and I'm going to take a chance on one for Sam Kearney called Tire Kicker. Cost 45 grand at the sales last July. By Network, Sire of Lights, and Sprint Sacre, Delta Work, Ruby Light. Sam Kearney, he's 5.38 in bumpers this year, but another 14 have played, so 50% of his runners have hit the frame in bumpers this season. This one looks to be nicely bred. Likely to be a fair price as well, with all the big yards having runners. So, Tire Kicker, not with any confidence or anything, but yeah, that'll be the one I take a chance on.
And we keep an eye on the market with Crown's Major for Emmett Mullins and Mr. P. Burns. That's Charles's son, isn't it? Who rides? I know he did ride a lot of Charles Burns' bumper horses, so I did make that assumption, but maybe not. Okay, that's the bumper covered. Right, lads, naps on day one of Punchestown. Ruby Walsh, your nap, please.
Echoes and Rain.
Echoes and Rain. Frank Hickey, your nap, please.
If you want to win a nap, Echoes and Rain, but exit poll for a price.
Okay, so two votes for Echoes and Rain, essentially, in the Champion Novice Hurdle 415. Thank you very much, gentlemen. We'll be back for day two. Stay with us, and that will be released shortly on the pod. Do subscribe to the podcast for more of this, and a nice little bonus feature from Peter Maher to follow as well. Looking forward to getting his thoughts on the race that Ruby mentioned that I thought was running on the Tuesday. That is the Bishop's Court race, which is for local farmers, the Farmers Race, which I believe we're sponsoring this year. I'm going to get my facts right, but until then, you stay safe, stay well, stay lucky, and don't forget to subscribe to the pod.